Today, apps. You may already be using an iPhone and downloading apps, but if you don't know what apps are, apps is short for applications. So today, ByDesign has invited into the studio a man who makes a living now from developing apps, amongst many other things to do with information technology. Keith Ahern is CEO of Mo Generation, a firm based in Brisbane and Sydney, but working for companies all around the world. Keith, thank you for coming in today. And a very basic question to begin with, what exactly is an app?
It's a common question. An app, it really is like, say, on your desktop, you've got Microsoft Word, you have your calculator, Solitaire, which a lot of people used to know. That's all it is, on a phone. You get it from the internet, but you keep it on your phone.
Right, so we're not talking about being permanently online to something, are we? Or
no,
are we talking about something that you download onto your phone?
You download onto your phone and it works on your phone. You don't need to be connected to the internet for most apps.
Why have apps suddenly taken off? And by that I mean, why is there so much advertising now around apps on TV and in magazines?
Apple really just solved a lot of problems when they took a fresh look at apps. Apps have been around for quite a few years, but for example, how you acquired apps was different across phones, across your network, the provider you're with, in different countries. So it was a very confusing to get an app. And on top of that, it might have different prices or behave differently. So very, very confusing for consumers. Apple solved that. You get an app from one place, it's called the App Store, and it behaves the same, it costs the same. So that really helped.
Yeah, I Googled apps today and I immediately got onto the App Store.
Mm-hmm.
And you need 3G for this, don't you?
Not really, but it helps. Mm-hmm. It helps. Some of the bigger games and the richer apps, you'll want 3G to get them faster, definitely.
But as you said, it was the iPhone that really started it all.
Yes, yes. It's really like when Apple had the iPhone, it's like they had no knowledge of all of their mobile phones. They just ignored everything that was before them and just rewrote the rules. And they educated consumers over a period of a year in the States before the iPhone was available here. And people got to understand you could use your phone for things besides voice. And then just a year ago, they brought apps out. And it just had the same ease of use that people have been used to with their email and the browser and the phone. Apps came along and people were ready just to take that next step.
Presumably, just as I need to pay if I want to put Word onto my computer, if it's not already there, I have to pay for apps. Is it expensive?
Yes and no. I think something like 80% of apps are free, so there's actually quite a few free apps out there. Some companies are just extending their presence into apps so that they're covered in apps to basically keep their customers happy while they're on the move or, you know, just outside of their PC environment. But apps can be sold, and that's definitely a huge part of their success. And they can be sold for as little as $1.19 Australian, which is, you know, quite cheap, one third of a price of coffee nowadays. People still complain about that price, but, you know, very, very accessible.
So how would you say this technology is changing phones?
Well, I think back to the iPhone, we have really noticed that when a phone has a large touch screen, so it doesn't have a keyboard, the behavior is just completely different. It's very, very intuitive. It's the way all phones should be. Before touch screens, you might remember, phones used to be quite simple, but then you started getting more and more buttons to move up and down and left and right and cancel, and it got very confusing. The Apple iPhone has one button on the front, and it always brings you back to the home screen where you can make a phone call. So, you know, it really changed how the design, the user interface of a phone.
This all implies that phones are not phones anymore. I mean, we're only a sort of century away from from when you used to have to dial up and talk to an operator, wind something up and talk to an operator. But now they've really morphed into personal computers. Mm-hmm. Is this the big shift?
Yes, it is. And it's for many years, companies have been trying to do this. And but I think Apple did something very clever. You might remember the first commercials for the iPhone. It always ended, so it would show you something on the iPhone, surfing the web, reading your email, using the calculator, but it always ended in a phone call and the person answering the phone. It was always going, it's okay, this is still a phone, don't worry.
The result of all this is that we're now changing the way we do things. I mean, I wonder if that's the key change, that things like the weather are now an application. We don't need to watch the weather report. We don't need a roadmap.
Yes, yes. And some people like this, some people don't. It's a personally, I'm in the just in time category. I there's actually a very interesting survey. I don't quite know the source, but people are far more likely to return to their home if they forgot their phone than their wallet. it's passed out the wallet there. I can't be without my phone. And, you know, I think this will, with these richer, smarter phones, that's going to become even more and more true, especially as they become able to handle currency and, you know, replace your wallet entirely.
I left home without my my mobile on Monday, and I felt a bit lost, even. Yes. And it's not even an iPhone. Yes. And I think surveys are also saying that we're never more than 1 meter away from our phones now.
That's probably true.
Your business is essentially developing apps. I mean, is this the new sexy thing to do? In the world of computers and software, money's being made out of developing applications.
Yeah, I mean, there's quite a few success stories that sound great. You know, the typical story kind of that we would have heard 10 or 15 years ago, a couple of people in the garage have an idea, create an app, and, you know, a couple of weeks later, they've made a few million dollars. There's a couple of those stories, not very many. There was some easy money at the start. Now it's a bit harder, but, you know, it's definitely here to stay. Some brands and some products make more sense on mobile. So they've been, you know, it's finally arrived their time, and some don't make any sense at all. So you still have to really think about it. It's not a slam dunk, but it's here to stay, absolutely.
But we're not seeing an unrealistic boom like the one from a few years ago of online selling and things like that.
Well, we may be, but what's good about it is the numbers are way smaller. What we actually particularly like about an iPhone app is you never really spend more than 4 to 8 weeks developing one. So compare that to, you know, investing $80 million in a software startup for 5 years with an army of 50 developers. So it's a completely different order of magnitude. So the results are much smaller, and lessons can be learned with less capital.
Well, that really brings us to the question of how you develop an app. Mm-hmm. What kind of people are coming your way, and how do they approach you?
Well, the great thing is all sorts of people are coming our way from just every industry, but a lot of just every demographic, a lot of kind of mom and pop ideas. I heard about your company, or I read an article in the newspaper. I have this idea. What do you think? And sometimes they're not much good. Sometimes they're good but being done. And sometimes they completely blow my mind. It's really, really interesting. It's really fortunate. I think we've had probably 150 inquiries about iPhone apps of different ideas, and at least 20 or 30 of them really blew my mind.
And presumably if I come to you with an idea that's semi-good, you can help me refine it.
Absolutely, yes. We work with the customer, and some of them are at different stages. But generally, it's refining the idea. You come to an agreement. Then we do. It's quite like web production, which a lot of people will be familiar with, where you kind of have wireframes, which is your basic interaction, and then you get into the design, and spend a lot of time in the design, because you probably noticed that iPhone apps are very aesthetically pleasing, very intuitive. So we really emphasize a lot of time spent on that to get it right. It should work very quickly. It should be intuitive. It should do one thing well. It shouldn't be cluttered. So we spend quite a lot of time there.
And talking about your customers, I gather you're now doing some work for the ABC, which is always good to hear. Well, are you downloading apps? How do you think this new world of application works for you? Let us know by going to our website, abc.net.au/rn/bydesign, which is also where you can find more details of Mo Generation. Keith Ahern, CEO of Mo Generation, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very, very much, Alex.